to Expounded Universe, Season 19, Episode 5. Who gave that Toka a crossbow? The book, The Lando Calrissian Adventures, Mind Harp of Sharu, by L. Neil Smith. The year, 1983. Chapters 9 and 10, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
Hey, welcome back to Expounded Universe. I'm Jeff, that's John, and we're going to do it straightforward this time. No attempt to start in media res joking about John opening a not gay, but looking that way car wash.
Yep. We're not doing that.
Nope, definitely not going to go back around. We're not going through that again. If you wanted to hear that content, you needed to just be in our garage, which you can.
Sometimes we try to start a podcast, and it turns out nothing's correctly put in place, and so we stop, then we restart a podcast.
We just lose the whole podcast opening, which, honestly, it was way better as just a bit between the two of us than trying to recreate it on mic anyway. It always turns out that way.
It's true. No one needs to know that I'm a big bear teaser.
Yeah, because of your bigness and beard that you can just walk through. As long as you got a little head toss in there. As long as you flip your, like, 90s Jonathan Taylor Thomas hair around.
I mean, I got too much hair.
Yeah, all the beards are like, ooh, maybe. And then he has to be like, no. And they're like, oh, man.
Yeah, I do that thing where I, like, crook a finger and they come over. And then I put, like, two fingers on their chest to stop them and go, sorry, mister. And then walk away.
It's so mean. Why do you keep doing this to bears?
Just a big bear teaser.
So anywho.
Someday I'll be eaten.
That's true. Someday you will. You're going to go out like what's-his-face. Timothy Treadwell, the man who was eaten by bears. Yes, that kind.
Yes.
Look it up.
It happened.
Don't look it up. It's quite unfortunate and very sad.
Aww.
Not a good topic for comedy.
Aww.
Although that said, the shot of Werner Herzog listening to the tape of it happening and then being like, I will not play this tape. I have heard it, but I don't want you to. Is probably worth the price of admission.
Oh,
yeah.
Poor Werner.
I know. He had to hear it and also had to do all those horrible-to-film movies that came out quite good. That almost sounded like I was going to insult my boy Werner.
Almost.
That's not what I meant. I just meant that, like, filming Fitzcarraldo sounded like an absolute pain in the ass.
Although, if you had a movie called Filming Fitzcarraldo, that would probably be a fun indie adventure.
Starring Jason Segel. Why not?
Why not?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Doing good? Okay, that's nice. Yeah, we've already been out today. We've gone.
Yeah, I've already done something today.
This is extra. We're not putting it all in on this one. Yeah, I don't know. Lando does a Star War. Whatever.
There's some kind of Stars War.
There's blasters and, I don't know, maybe a Jedi. Something. Hey, you know,
there might be a Jedi somewhere. You don't know.
Spaceship happens.
Someone says something about the Force, and everyone else is like, yeah, well, all right.
Yeah, one guy's like, I got a rough intuition about this, and it's like,
hey, I don't think this is going to be good.
That's not the line. And they're like, yeah, whatever. I'm changing it.
This don't look so hot.
So in actuality, yeah, we didn't really do much today. We went out to lunch, and we drank a bunch of peanut butter whiskey shots.
Yes, and by a bunch you mean one.
One and two, respectively. That's a lot for me.
Yeah.
I
mean, I had a, like, 9 ABV beer, so.
That's, what does that stand for, again?
Alcohol bitch value.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, okay, thank you. So anyway, meanwhile, in the land of Star War, some shit occurs.
A fight was brewing.
No, we pretty much just pick up where we left off in the last episode. We ended as Mose was about to explain some cool shit about his people and their history.
Yeah, and then Lando was like, ha ha, I don't care, good night.
No, he was like excited to hear it, but then like Vuffy Raw came in and everyone was like, well, that broke the flow of conversation.
You
ruined
the mood.
Now we're just not doing it.
It would be weird to go back again.
No, pass, we're good. We can't do it live like that. It had to be in the moment.
And probably one of the weirder choices that we've had. I mean, honestly, we've had a lot of weird choices with Lando in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I've appreciated most of them, but this is a weird Falcon choice.
Yeah, in that when we come back in this chapter, when we start, he is waking up underneath the table in a sleeping bag that he has slept in, instead of, say, I don't know, the crew quarters that would exist here.
The bed that is definitely on the Millennium Falcon, because it's a long-haul freighter, so there's for sure bunks.
Yeah.
But no, he's, I guess there aren't, because Buffy Raw's doing whatever he does. Mose is still sleeping in the chair he was in the first place, and Lando has an extremely expensive, very high-quality fabric sleeping bag that he just lays out on the hard floor of the Falcon underneath that game table.
Yeah, and I mean, at first I was like, oh, okay, so I guess maybe when they brought all the life crystals in and they had all the fucking, like, crates and whatnot, mm-hmm. they really packed them in there so that there's no room. They put them in the sleeping bed and everything. That's it. But then I was like, but if that was true, why would he have this sleeping bag in the first place
yeah.
to be sleeping on the floor in?
Especially because then he goes in and falls asleep again in one of the pilot ships or seats in the ship. And he's like, oh, this is way more comfortable than that usual spot where I sleep. And I'm like, you got to stop sleeping on the floor, dude. This is a long haul trucking vessel.
Have you just not looked around your ship like you got it?
He just hates it so much.
Yeah, he just got a giant freighter, walked in, went immediately to the fucking, like, pilot cabin, went into the lounge area and went, well, I guess I'd sleep here.
Well, that's the closest thing to my personal character is that there's games in this one room. I'll just sleep in here with, I always forget the name of that game that they have on the deck.
Dejarik?
Dejarik, the space holo chest.
I knew a Star Wars.
Good for you. I think it's because you did the bonus content on it.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. But yeah, it is Dejarik, yeah. But he just falls asleep in there, and then...
Dabo!
He hates it, by the way.
He hates Dabo.
He hates Dabo. He hates that other game they also play, that Rules of Acquisition looking one where they, like, spin the thing. And
oh,
they,
yeah.
Remember that?
Acquire.
Yeah, hold. And then, like, it turns out that Jadzia is way better at it than all the Ferengi, so they like her. Was that Jadzia's, like, only characteristic on that show, is that she's better at alien shit than the alien that she does it with?
Yeah.
And they have to be like, I have grudging respect for you because you're better than us in our own game.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. She was like, I'm better at Klingon shit than you Klingons, and I'm better at Ferengi shit than you Ferengi.
Yeah.
And I've never been, you know, in any of you. It's not like this can be hosted in, like, a Klingon and then a Ferengi. I've always just been a Trill.
Yeah. The biggest cock tease in the history of Star Wars, or Star Trek, excuse me, is that part where they establish that she's, like, an egalitarian alien fan because she, like, has some boy she's been dating who's, like, a space captain with a transparent skull for a head.
Sure.
So everyone's, like, making fun of her for it. They're all like, how's your date with Captain Skull for a Head or whatever? And she's like, it's fine. You guys need to be more cosmopolitan. And then you have, like, you know, one of the other crew members being like, but transparent head, though. And that's the biggest cocktease ever, because show that fucking guy.
Yeah, whereas the biggest cocktease in Star Wars is Han Solo.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. Unless.
I don't think so.
Ooh, back off there, buddy.
I'm a real bear tease.
You're hurting the wrong nerf. But yeah, I mean, just show me the transparent skull head dome man that she was all up into. It couldn't have cost more than a couple of dollars.
A couple dollars
to show us this brain for a head man with this pop-o-matic brain bubble. Oh well, what are you gonna do? What I'm gonna do is describe what happens next.
Go ahead.
He wakes up and he goes up to the front of the ship, and he's got a long internal monologue about how Buffy Raw has been tidying the ship or doing whatever. And he goes like, yeah, technically high level droids like him do need to sleep. Like, the higher level they are, the longer.
Yeah, the higher sapient you are, the more sleep you need. But he has no idea what that actually looks like.
Yeah, or in particular what Buffy Raw's habits are. We've already seen Buffy Raw sleep. We haven't seen him do much yet, but one thing we've seen is him sleeping.
Yeah. Now, of course, he's super grumped up because obviously he just fucking slept on the floor.
Yeah.
So he gets up and he's like angry that Buffy is real good at flying.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's so smooth. Fucking droid.
Well, you know what kills me here is that when the other chap, the episode before the last one, he's like, fuck this stupid planet. I'm going to go sleep on the Falcon. I'm going to have a nice night in the feather bed on the Falcon, he says. And I'm like, but there isn't one. Unless, as you mentioned earlier, it's completely covered in life crystals right now.
Yeah.
In which case, just move those so they're on the game table.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be like, oh, well, there was enough room for me to sleep under this table. I'll put crystals under the table.
Yeah. And then go sleep in my bed like I wanted. But anyway, he gets up to the front deck, and there's Moe's just sort of snoring.
Just hanging and banging.
Described as sounding like an old car engine, but of course it's Star Wars, so they have to be like some impossibly archaic internal combustion engine.
Rawr.
Yeah. And then Lando more or less just sort of wakes him up to be like, hey, old man, where's the stupid key? Where's the lock I need?
Where are we going?
And Moses' response is, that way.
He's like, hold on, let me do a little song, and there. It just points.
That way. And Lando's like, God damn it. He also is consistently, in this chapter, begrudging the fact that Vuffy Raw is flying the ship now.
Well, yeah. He's very, when he wakes up, like I said, he's super angry that Vuffy is flying well.
Yeah.
He's like, just like,
well enough
droid.
That he got compliments on his perfect takeoff from the Taguta Lazat control tower.
Yeah.
And he's like, Vuffy, they said that you did a perfect job.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, thank you, master. Don't call me master.
This is the whole thing with us.
Yeah, we got an interesting dynamic and bond. I don't think we do. I think you're just a jerk.
I think you're an asshole, and I'm cool.
I guess it's part of your jerkness that you think it's an interesting bond.
Yeah. It's part of your dynamic, where you're a piece of shit and I'm not.
I'm a cool droid with rad powers.
But yeah, he's like, he points out the window. He's like, we need to go there. And Lando's like, just with a fucking speck of light right there. And he's like, yes.
Yeah, go that way. And he's like, oh my God, okay, I have a
Is that a planet?
I have a weird starfish flying the ship, and I've got an archaic elderly navigator who flies by just pointing out the window at things. Could this get worse? And he's like, you're going to have to be way more specific. What the fuck is that? And then he's just like, well, that's Rafa 5, the fifth planet of the Rafa system. It has two inhabitable moons, 9/10 gravity, just like Rafa 4 did. And it's got a fully breathable atmosphere. And I picked that all up from the song of the refractive telescope, master.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I got a lot of shit. And he's like, how many fucking songs do you know? And he's like, oh, more than you could possibly count.
Yeah, I think it was 763,000, he said. Because he does it he expresses it in decimal notation. He's like 7.63 times 10 to the 4th power song, sir.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, great. Did you learn that number from the song of numeric notation?
The song of big numbers?
Get it from a big song number having?
No, I just checked the index I use in Excel spreadsheet and just did a cell count on entries in rows.
How many?
How many rows are there? That's how I came up with that. Thank you, though. But I like that whole where he was like, that way! And Lando's like, that's dumb. And he's like, yeah, I agree. It's actually this. It's really obvious.
What he goes like, what is that, a planet? And Vuffy's like, yeah, well, I mean, what he pointed to is a planet.
Yeah, it's Rafa 5. And that causes Lando to have like this internal turmoil.
he's like, God damn it.
Why did I ask? I don't know what is and isn't a planet. Why am I insulting everybody?
I don't know shit. Yes, I'm pissed off that I have this weird starfish droid and a like old man who is telling me which direction to go in space by pointing. But also, I'm just some shitty gambler as the captain who doesn't know anything about flying. So,
yeah.
You know, just we're all even.
Yeah, he has a little moment where he's like, I've got a stupid starfish for a pilot and a ridiculous old man for a cat. And his own, like, his shoulder devil is like, and a dilettante gambler who doesn't know shit about fuck for your captain.
Eh? You piece of shit.
Now quit being so grumpy, you fuckwad. Have some caffeine.
But instead of that, he just decides to pass out in the captain's chair.
Yeah, he just falls back asleep.
He's just like, all right, well, fucking take us to Rafa 5 then.
Luckily, when he wakes up, he's in a much better mood.
Yeah, he's in a much better mood. And also, the ship is getting hit by stuff.
Yes. It turns out, I love that they use the phrase plumber's helper here. Because what happens
I thought you were going to say you love that they use the phrase spoing.
They also use every vowel in the between sp and ng over and over again here. Is it the first
sping?
Yeah, sping, spong, sping, spong, spang. As stuff starts hitting the outside of the ship, and he looks out the window, and wedged against part of the Falcon is what's described as a perfect see-through crystalline plumber's helper
with suction cup and all.
First, I was like, oh, isn't a plumber's helper like a roto-rooter machine, like one of those long snake?
Yeah,
things?
I was thinking of a snake,
and then no, apparently he's just using it as a term for a plunger because he describes it as just having a handle and a suction cup. So, weird choice of words, especially because Plumber's Helper, I think, is like a brand name. It'd be real weird if he was like, oh, it's, that thing's the exact same size and shape as a
Xerox machine.
A box of Arm & Hammer baking soda. But yeah, so they're running into debris, and it's pelting the ship all over, even causing minor atmospheric disturbances. And eventually, he's like, well, shit, Vuffy, are we okay? He's like, yeah, we're just flying through, like, millennia of accumulated space flight debris from, like, where the Sharu learned to fly into space.
Yeah, we're going through all the, like, old early space flight detritus of, like, satellites and various bits that fell off of rockets and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting to me because that suggests that Rafa 5 is the originating world.
That is what they said.
Yeah.
They said this is where they were from.
Yeah, from in the first place is this planet. So you can tell because this is the planet where all their crappy space junk from before they knew how to do it is floating.
Exactly.
You'd think they'd have also learned how to clean it up right around the same time they built their 9 mile high buildings and shit.
Yeah, but you would also, you know, be right in that they don't care.
Yeah. But Lando has an interesting question. He's like, well, Vuffy, because Vuffy is like, arms are like flying all crazy.
I mean, eventually he manages to get it so that like they go down and all of the spongs, bangs happen on the bottom of the ship where it's heavily armored. Yeah. He's like, all right, I got it. We're good now. We're good.
And Lando's like, why didn't you just turn on the ship shields?
Like, there's nothing here that would get through deflectors, my dude. We're not going at a speed or with a size of debris that would do anything to those.
If anything, you'd think that turning on the ship deflectors would be like standard practice when you're going into orbit around an inhabited planet, because it's probably got a bunch of space junk around it. You might crash into some Starlink satellites or whatever the fuck, you know?
Or, you know, even if you were coming down in, you might hit some birds or whatever.
Yeah, so you just turn that fucking shield on. But this seems to be a little mental block in Vuffy Raw's prodigious droid capabilities, because he's like, oh, I suppose I simply didn't think about it.
He's like, huh, I don't know why I didn't do that.
Yeah. Weird, right? Anyway, I'll do it now. Click. And then he does.
And indeed, he does. Now, the thing to know about Rafa 5 is that this place is shitty, even by Rafa standards.
Yeah.
Because this place is super barren. There's almost no humidity, so it's very dry planet.
Mm-hmm. And super cold.
And it's cold outside.
Yeah, but not like Hoth cold, where, you know, you get to see all the frozen
snow. More like baby it's cold outside. Yeah.
Well, because there's so low humidity, there's no water to freeze into water ice, so it looks like just dirt planet with a couple of scrubby trees and so on, but it's like your shit will freeze, like your nose hairs will freeze if you breathe in kind of cold.
Yeah.
No one likes this.
No. Now, the fucking what's-his-nuts, Mose, when they go out there, obviously Lando is like, okay, well, I get a bunch of heavy boots, and I get a electrically warmed parka, and I fucking have all my shit together and goggles and whatever.
Yeah, big bags of water in every pocket. He actually is finally scared enough, because the place where they're going to land is this big, ugly pyramid that we'll get into.
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, not even a pyramid. It's like a five-sided
thing. Oh, I guess that's fair. Yeah,
thing.
It's a triangular prism. No, wait, triangular prism doesn't have a point. It is a pyramid if it has a point, no matter how many sides it has.
No matter what.
That's the rules, unless it has an infinite or a single side, in which case I think it's a cone. So yeah, it is a pyramid. It's just that it's a five-sided pyramid, and all five sides aren't the same. So it's like it looks ugly and lopsided, and each one's a different ugly color.
Yeah, and
it's also 1,000 miles from anything resembling even an outpost on this mostly empty planet.
Well, there's also barely anyone on this planet, because he's like, unlike, say, Rafa 4, where
it's nice,
it at least is livable, this place sucks an unimaginable amount of ass. So the only people here are the few Toka that were natively here because they were brought here by the Sharu before, and like a handful of people that are trying to get like some crystal farming shit going.
Yeah.
But he's like, there are hundreds of people total on this entire planet.
And they're all on the other side. We're going to the empty side.
And, you know, Mose, though, what I was saying is, when he comes out, straight up just still in a loincloth, he's like, I don't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a shit.
I'm a super soldier. Fuck you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's just invulnerable and super old and super powerful. Lando is in this full parka uniform. He is scared. He's like, I don't know what we're doing here. At this point, he thinks,
like, he gets an actual blaster rifle to go with him. Yeah, he's like, I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
And he crowds his pockets with as many, like, power cartridges as he can for it. He's got a little epiphany right around this point where he's like, God, it's right here? This wasn't even that hard. We're like, that was like an 8-hour flight. We're going to be fine. Like, at this point, I'm starting to think that Dootes and Roker just didn't go because they didn't want to.
Well, I mean, he's lazy. Like, when he had the conversation before with Moe's about, like, where are we going? He's like, that way, because of this song of the telescope. He's like, man, they just didn't go with these guys because they don't want to deal with their shit.
Fucking
shenanigan ass yeah. Toka.
But now we at this point where Vuffy's like, sir, the humidity on this planet is below 2%. Did you pack sufficient water? Yeah, I've got lots of water right here. And verily, master, hath thou procured the key that shall...
Yes, I am not going off to summer camp and you are not my doting parents.
Why are you my two dads? What is happening?
Yes, I've got everything I need and my lunch is packed. Please let me get on this school bus.
But yeah, sure enough, the planet sucks ass. Like, he gets out there, he tries to breathe, he's like, oh no, my nose hair is all froze, I hate it here.
Oh yeah,
this sucks.
Because it's, I mean, you know, like you said, without having enough moisture for there to be like snow or ice or anything, when you first look out you're just like, oh, it's just a shitty planet. But mm-hmm. when you get out there you're like, oh fuck, it is cold.
Yeah, I do appreciate the continued drive for aesthetics as a character trait for Lando, because he gets a look at this plant, this pyramid thing, which they note is at least 7 kilometers into the air.
Yes.
And goes down. Yeah.
Goes several kilometers down past the point where the Falcon would be able to track it.
Yeah. So they have no idea how far down it goes, but it's absolutely enormous. Each one of its 5 sides is a different shape or different width.
Color.
So you have like magenta and cucumber and turquoise, just the worst colors.
Yeah.
Which causes Lando to just be like, ugh, this entire planet, this whole species is fucking tacky. Also, why would you even build a plunger out of crystal? It would have no movement ability. It wouldn't work.
How do you even make a suction cup out of crystal? That's weird.
You can't do it. Were their poops just moved via a different mechanic?
Yes. You've never seen a Sharu. You don't know.
You got a good point there. I've not seen a Sharu.
You don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything.
Yeah. And he's still thinking to himself, like, Jesus, this giant indestructible plastic building is tall. It's big enough that it sticks out of the atmosphere. I don't like it. And also, no cap on the top of the pyramid. The points just all come together so sharp that they could cut you if you touched them.
Yeah. There's no, like, oh, and in order to end the top of this, we'll have a roof. It's just like, nah, it's just each angle goes until they meet, until it comes to a point.
Yeah, so again, he's having that thought that he has routinely throughout these books, which is, what the hell scared these guys? What threatened to tame the Sharu? How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, my
good
man.
Just making sure.
Hey, my dude.
Yeah.
You all right?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably should have had something caffeinated instead of a ruby red squirt.
Ugh. You should have had anything but a ruby red squirt.
I like squirt.
Yeah, but if it's ruby red, you should see your doctor. Hey, now.
Jokes, we got them.
Kind of.
Yeah, well, you do anyway.
But yeah, he gets out there and he's like, all right, yeah, I got my key, I got the stuff, let's fucking go. And it is then that Vuffy Raw gets absolutely fucking peppered.
Arrowed.
Yeah. He like goes forward, gets an arrow in a joint, and he's like, Oh, fuck me in the ass.
Lando, there's an arrow sticking out of me. And then
appear to have a...
Yeah. As Lando turns around to look at him, he's like, wow, that guy has... Vuffy Raw has like 35 fucking crossbow bolts sticking out of him right now. And Vuffy Raw quietly, without a further sound beyond, master, what is happening? Just falls down in the
sand. Yeah, he just goes down.
Turns off.
He's just, and done.
Done. Like leaking his secret interior fluids.
He's like, oh, fuck, we're under attack. And then he's like, huh. Every crossbow bolt managed to hit Vuffy and around us, but nothing hit us.
Yeah, and he tries to unsling his blaster rifle to fire back at whoever's doing this.
He's like, all right, I'm going to try and get some cover. Maybe I'll probably die, but at least maybe I'll take someone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And gets a arrow into the actual barrel of the gun.
Uh-huh. So that's a scary situation. Whoever's shooting at him is super accurate.
Yeah, he's like, oh, these motherfuckers have precision like just absolute nonsense.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, he's sort of just wondering. He's trying not to move because something terrifying is happening.
Well, yeah, he throws the blaster down and he's like, all right, do I go for my little pistol? And at that point, I was like, Lando, how do you not just raise your hands? Like, you tried to pull out a blaster and a dude shot an arrow into the fucking barrel of it. And you're like, ah, but maybe if I have a smaller gun, you're like, dude, you'll be dead.
Well,
stop it.
The question is solved for him because Moe's whirls around on him, is like, enough. Now hand over the key, impostor!
Yes, the false key bearer! Mm. You who would take the key falsely!
Yeah.
Falseman!
Trixie!
And he's like, wait a minute. No.
Yeah, I love that. No. I'm not doing that.
No, you know what? Fuck you. Come and get it.
And they... Well, because he's already put it together. They killed Buffy Raw right quick, or shot him down anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't hit him even once, even a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, as soon as he goes, yeah, fuck you, a bunch of arrows fire out at him, and they all go, like, sailing past his shoulders or through his legs or whatever. And he's like, oh, you're deliberately not hitting me. You can't hit me. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Come here. Why don't you take it from me? Huh?
Come fight me again, Mose. Remember how that went last time.
Huh? And then he goes, and he's like, all right, well, if they can't kill me, maybe I can go get my blaster. And then they just absolutely destroy the blaster with bolts. And he's like, all right. Nope, can't do that.
So he
they just
up.
Won't hit me.
Yeah, they just won't hit him, but they bury the blaster in so many crossbow bolts that you can't see it anymore. And he's like, well, okay. So he just stands back up, and he's like, I'm not going anywhere. And he just crosses his arms. Then they shoot a blaster or a crossbow bolt so that it hits him at the top of the ear.
Yeah, they just graze his ear, and he's like, fucking ow, though.
It's cold, and I was already all chapped from the cold, and then you hit me with a fucking crossbow. And then, because they're such excellent trick shots with these fucking things, it bounces off the Falcon and hits him in the butt.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, fine, fucking what do you want? They're like, March, you will go with us. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever, my dude.
I don't fucking care. What? Fine. He's mostly just in his head thinking, God, I sure hope droids die quickly, because that looked like it sucked.
Yeah, God damn, that was a lot of arrows. Oh, he can't feel. I hope no one programmed this robot to feel pain.
It is all they programmed me to feel, Master.
Why?
I do not know, for I do not remember my programming.
But yeah, there is an entire Toka ambush here, and for some reason they are taking like direction from Mose, and so he's like, all right, so why the fuck he just got here with me from Rafa
another
4,
planet, yeah,
like a different planet. He has not used my equipment as far as I know.
Yeah, and there are Toka on every inhabitable rock in this entire star system.
Oh, yeah.
They're already all the way spread out. Every place you go that even has atmosphere in the entirety of the Rafa, there's Toka's already there.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but yeah, so why is he in charge? And Lando's like, oh, shit, it's because it's a setup.
Yeah, oh, this is a purposeful ambush. There's a reason they were here when we got here. There's a reason he took me to this specific spot.
Yeah.
And although that does mean that as much as he keeps being like, oh, these primitives, bro, like, oh, they've definitely got a way to, like, interplanetary communication. Because
remember when I was earlier, my guess as to how he got to the spaceport before them was that, like, underground tunnel networks that they can go into the Sharu ruins and they're just not telling anybody. I'm still thinking that's the case. That
I think it's crystals. The life crystals
just
are
crystals.
Like, you could just go, ding, hey, buddy, I'm
they're just fucking walkie talkies.
Yeah.
I like to think that there's just like a teleportation network inside the Sharu ruins and they can use those if they need to.
Well, I mean, they were saying earlier in the book that one of the big things that these crystals get used for outside of just people using them to extend life is they're great for communication.
Ah, yeah.
So I assumed that it was just like, oh yeah, they are great for communication. In fact, if you know how to like sing to them or whatever fucking thing they do,
that's fair, yeah,
then you just connect to some other crystal somewhere.
Yeah. But it is definitely a setup, because Mose is not only comfortable here on Rafa 5, a planet that, in all other ways, obviously sucks and is not conducive to human life. Oh, it also has a green sky, which Lando also thinks is super tacky. He's like, this fucking sucks. I hate this dumb planet.
All of these planets. All the Rafa can fucking go hang.
But yeah, he's like, fine, I guess I'm going with you. What do I care? And then they just march. And he regrets it at that point, because the march is endless.
Oh, yeah. They go for, like, miles and miles, and he's like, dude, I am so fucking tired. And of course, Mose, who he has been like, oh, this dude is like a senile ancient old man, no complaints, fucking loincloth in freezing cold weather, marching for miles, and is like, too bad, my dude, keep moving.
Yeah, exactly.
And when he tries to be like, you can't kill me, no, I'm not gonna move anymore, they're like, we're going to give you a warning shot at your dick, my man.
And he's like, well, what if you guys get the hiccups or something? You might hit me in my wiener dong. I can't have that.
I can't have a shot to the wiener dong, yeah. So.
So I guess I'm going to march then, which I still was like, dude, they've got pinpoint perfect accuracy. Just sit there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They've got a plan in place already. Currently, he's got the following suspicion. They're not allowed to kill or really hurt him especially bad.
And they can't just take the key from him either.
Though he has noted that Mose has already just tried to take the key from him. So he's not 100% sure about that. That said, the key was just sitting on a table.
I was going
to
say, yeah. He didn't have it. It was just there.
Yeah, their rules for what they can do to get the key or do with the key are extremely specific and extremely strict.
Yeah, I mean, at one point, he even just, like, Mose flat out goes, yeah, we can't take the key, even if it's a false key bearer, we can't take the key from you.
Yeah.
We can, however, kill a false emissary. And I'm like, man, you got real weird rules and fucking bylaws here.
Well, apparently, Lando is now convinced in his head that the key bearer and the emissary are actually the same thing.
Well, he was.
Yeah. So
he was like, oh, I thought we were the same guy. I thought I was the key bearer slash emissary.
Yeah, but apparently not. Apparently, they thought Vuffy was the emissary, and that's why they get to kill him, because false emissaries, no one gives a shit. You can kill those.
Yeah, well, they're not carrying a key, so it's fine.
So their rule is just that they can't hurt him or directly take the key off him. As long as he's alive, and they know he knows that too. So they're like, well, we're going to move on to the next plan. Give us the key. No. Okay, well, then we're going to tie you to a tree. And it's at this point that we can stop and describe life crystals for a page and a half, because that's what the book does.
Yeah. It's weird. In a book that is so very just like moving at a good pace, quick, fun, pulp, space adventure thing that for no reason right now they start to go all Tolkien and be like, now let me tell you about every aspect of the life tree.
So a life tree effectively looks like a saguaro cactus made out of brown glass that looks like a big fake one, because it looks like it's made out of plasticky glass. And instead of having just a regular root network, it has a big disc for the bottom, just like a fake, like a toy fake tree would.
But then it does have roots that go down
from the corners of the fake disc, or the disc, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't go out. He's like, none of the roots go out, like, sideways farther than any of the branches, but they will go down forever.
Yeah, they go straight down, which presumably indicates that would make sense on a planet with ultra low humidity.
Yeah,
that they have to go super down to hit whatever water sources are available down at the bottom. It would either be they go super super down like palm trees, or super super out like cacti to catch as much water as possible. They also obey a rule that's very similar to what eucalyptus trees do, which is that they won't grow too close to each other.
Yeah.
In fact, they grow at an equal distance from each other, even though the orchard appears to have no...
No one's out there planting.
Yeah, there's no organization to it. They just kind of are haphazard, but none of them grow within the exact X distance of each other.
Exactly. And, I mean, that's interesting. But the fact that this basically just looks like... You've got branches that go out and then, like, point up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the point up, there are crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And the crystals are either, like, you know, depending on the size of the branch, they could be super tiny. They could be, you know, like the size of fucking Vuffy Raw.
Yeah, that's the biggest example they cite, is the size of Vuffy Raw. But most of them, the ones that are, like, useful for commercial or industrial purposes are, like, thumb-sized to hand-sized.
Yeah.
And but there are, if it's a smaller tree, they have microscopic crystals at the tips. They're only good for, like, industrial applications.
And, I mean, I really am trying to picture what they look like. The description for me didn't do a lot, but
okay,
it just
seems
like everything sort of comes out and then juts up.
Mm-hmm. So picture, okay, so basically imagine that it's a series of flat planes made of spokes. Like,
okay, now like imagine four balls at the edge of a cliff.
Let's not make it more common than it needs to be. There's a single pole going up the middle.
Well, yeah, I know there's one pole that goes up the middle.
Then imagine that you had, like, the spokes from a bike wheel going out, and at the bottom of the tree, they go out farther than at the top of the tree, and then it's concentrically increasing as they make their way down. And then at the end of each spoke, they poke up. And at the next level, because they're slightly closer to the interior of the tree, they also poke up, but closer, so they aren't touching each other.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole tree, it gives the illusion of basically like a cartoon Christmas tree.
Yeah, a conical tree.
Yes.
But everything is just, like, very angular, like, out, up,
yeah.
Crystal.
Mm-hmm. With the central spoke, or the axle of the tree,
the
so
main
to speak,
spire.
Does not have a crystal on it. It just grows out and stops.
Yeah.
So that's a life tree.
And you can, when you cut a crystal off of it, it apparently grows back after a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very sustainable business thing. I mean, honestly, to be able to just go out and be like, and zoop, I'll get one of these and be back in a while.
Yep. So, and you can cover a whole planet, especially this planet, which, like, should just be completely covered in them. But my guess is that they're not even seeking water. That the reason that they go straight, that the roots from them go straight down in a big circle is because these are just part of the buildings.
Meh.
These are just like the outside of a Shuru building has these things on it.
I mean, I assume that this is some sort of biotechnical thing where they were like, yeah, we created life crystals and we were programmed them specifically to spawn at certain intervals and spaces.
I mean, I can almost pretty much guess why, even, because we've already established what they're good for.
Yeah.
Life extension and really good radio attuning, which means if you've got a bunch of them growing out of your building, it's because they're fancy bioorganic antennae.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I don't know for sure.
Nope, but it's, I mean, at least given the clues that we have that have been sparse enough, it's a good enough guess and was along the lines that I was going to.
Yeah. So they are also useful for one more thing, which is tying prisoners to.
Going way up your butt, Morty.
That's right. Those were life crystals or something.
Well, similar. They were seeds.
They were like some kind of seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Yeah. They have their plan now because, as Mose explains to the assembled masses in Delando, all right, well, here's the rules. We're not allowed to kill you, even if we're sure you're the false key bearer, which you obviously are, because even
you didn't know any of this.
Yeah. It drives me nuts that they're like, well, what do you care if he's the false key bearer or not? What are you going to do with that thing? You're not the fucking key bearer, Mose. It was clearly a black gambler from the stars. Unless you made all that shit up, which he might have done.
I mean, he might have made it up, and even if he didn't, like I was saying last time, it is so easy for any religious person to go, yeah, but if you look at it this way, you could interpret it to mean me, and I should have the key.
That's exactly, because the only other thing he could possibly do is like, look, we think you're the false key bearer, so we're going to take the key and put it back in a place where other people will find it until the real key bearer comes along, as was the plan.
Yeah, now, because they can't kill him or even really grievously hurt him, they're like, all right, here's our plan.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come up to you and tear your dumb clothes apart.
Yep.
So you got a stripped apart parka that doesn't really work anymore, and we
slit
cut
your pants.
Pants
up the sides so that your legs are exposed. Yeah.
And we're going to tie you to one of these life trees and let nature do what it wilt.
Yeah.
For we did not kill you, but verily the elements did. And you're like, boo.
Bullshit.
Boo. You killed him.
That sounds like moral false equivalences. What are you doing, buddy? That's definitely you. Why aren't you flipping that turtle back over?
Come on, buddy. Take a philosophy class 101, my man.
If you throw a baby in the water in the ocean, you killed that baby.
It's not the ocean that killed the baby.
You knew that baby couldn't swim. You murdered that there baby.
Yeah, if you tie this fucker up to a tree and are like, and you will freeze to death, then you know when you're killing him.
Yeah, so I take fault with this plan, but then again,
full
it is,
umbrage, my friend.
That said, it is based on a maniac song from a species of weirdos, so who knows?
Oh, I mean, the fact that they were like, well, we've got a law, we can kill the emissary, but not the false key bearer, but we can tie you to a tree, and I'm like, I'm sure you have just contingencies and wheels within wheels for your dumb shit.
They've had millennia to workshop this, so there's probably so many
rules. Given that this is a religion that's been around for this long, I'm like, oh, you know the amount of schisms and sects and shit that happened with this.
Yeah.
Like,
and just reinterpretations. Like, there's no way this is the first false key bearer they've murdered.
Oh, for sure. I have to imagine that there's got to be like, oh, it turns out if you go to the Toka on Rafa 2, they have reform orthodox Shuru worship.
Yeah, we're Shuru for Jesus. We just want to give you some literature.
Oh, we're from the Church of Latter-day Shrews.
That's the worst one. They don't celebrate any holidays.
Damn it.
Pass.
Hard pass, no.
So, anywho, they tie Lando to a fucking tree and leave him there to die. And he's just like, well, this sucks. And even as he's sitting there, he's just wondering what's up with Vuffy Raw. Like, I hope he died clean because that looked like it sucked. But he's also thinking, because one thing was Mose did like as much... Mose is doing a thing like he's presenting to make sure that the gods don't get mad at him. Because like when he's done cutting up Lando's clothes and tying him to the tree, he makes sure to take the key, which he's not allowed to take, and stuff it down Lando's pants, narrowly avoiding in his cummerbund the sting beam that's still there. So Lando still has his secret gun. But Lando's worried that he'll clink the gun and get found out. But instead, he doesn't. And then Mose just stands up and is like, behold, for I have tied him up. As you can see, the elements will kill him and not I.
He still retains the key.
Yes, for it is in his pants and not in my hand, as it was a moment ago. Now we go, and then they
see. I'm not breaking the rules. I'm not touching you at all.
Exactly, but it's not like Lando.
I'm gonna swing my fists, and if you get hit, it's your fault.
Well, it's just amusing to me because Lando doesn't have any concept of all these rules that they're following, one way or the other, beyond what they've told him. So he doesn't give a shit. So it's really just Moe's reinforcing these beliefs to the other Shuru or Toka.
Oh yeah, no, I mean very clearly, Moe's is a self-serving, like, religious leader who is trying to, like, go, and look, see how I follow the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm. None of you other Toka can get mad at me and try and usurp my spot.
I'm a cool old guy. Mm-hmm. I know so many songs.
Yeah. The most songs. More than Carl there. Aw.
No. I'm trying.
I'm trying. It's just they're hard. But they all fuck off. Like, in a word, he's just like, and now we leave. And then they just all disappear into the hills.
Yeah.
Now Lando's just tied to a tree, slowly dying of cold.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's basically where it ends. We end our chapters with him just sort of tied to a tree going, man, this kind of blows, you know?
He's all cursing to himself, like, what the fuck? Fucking goddamn it.
Oh, yeah. As the giant Toka ambush is walking away, he's just swearing at them. He starts swearing at the fucking Roker Gepta,
mm-hmm.
swearing at himself.
Because he's got nothing else to do. And it's like, that's the closest thing he can come up with to keeping warm. Is just
oh, yeah.
Sort of
he's like, well, I'm all tied up. I can't move my legs or feet, so at least I can move my mouth. So fuck you, Moe's.
Come back here and fight me, douchebag. And I do like all the discussions he has where he's like, look, I'm just not going to give this thing to you.
Fuck you, man.
You're going to have to take it off me. And he's like, I'm not allowed to. I'm
going
to tie it to the death tree.
If I do that, then everyone's going to fucking say that I'm a false key bearer. So first I have to get you killed by not me.
And then I have to claim that I'm not the key bearer while I'm bearing the key. That's the whole rule. It takes so much to internalize all these processes.
The whole pageant.
Look, to the outside, I know it looks ridiculous. It's like when you attend a Catholic mass and you're like, the fuck is any of this?
Why is this in Latin?
But if you were raised in it, then it makes a lot of sense. You get it.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, there are parts where you stand, there are parts where you sit, and there are parts where you kneel.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's in English, some of it's in Latin.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, everyone argues over who brought what to the baking event.
I'm John, and I brought Jell-O.
I brought one half-opened container of Oreos. I mean, half-eaten. It is fully opened.
It's half-open.
I put them on a paper plate. Here you go. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take 4 servings of waffles.
But yeah, he is swearing up a storm, and then manages to pass out, and then, like, wakes up cussing, and he's like, oh, fuck, don't fall asleep. Oh, you're going to die. Oh, sweet Jesus, fuck, shit-ass balls, keep myself alive.
Gotta do something. I'm surprised he can die at all. I mean, he's tied to a life orchard tree. It should be extending his pathetic attempts at living for eternity. He should just become, like, a Junji Ito main character and just, like, get all stretchy and gross as he slowly freezes but won't die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Should slowly have his, like, lips start to peel back, yeah. And his skin goes down, and then just the tips of his fingernails.
I'm not super read up on Junji Ito. I've only read 3 of them, and they're the biggest 3.
No, that's fine. I'm just going off what happens when, you know, frostbite takes all your extremities.
Oh, well, that's true. I've actually had frostbite on an extremity. It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I almost lost one of my toes when I was in Boy Scouts, because I grew up right around here in shitty-ass San Diego, where it's always hot and sunny. So the first time we went snow camping, I was like, I don't know what snows is. I ain't never seen it before. It's just like white sand. And I brought my crappiest sleeping bag and a hot water bottle my parents made me take, and it leaked overnight, and my foot froze into a nearly solid block of ice.
Oof!
And,
ouch, owie.
In the morning, I was like, I had to crack my foot out of an ice block, which mostly was just frozen sleeping bag and not like a literal block of ice around my foot.
Yes.
So it wasn't like I had to like chisel it out. I just had to like
crunch the bag.
Crunch the bag until my foot came loose. And I went to the adults and I was like, I don't know what this is, but I can't feel my foot. And it.
And this is black.
And well, it didn't. Thankfully, I had very little necrotizing of the tissue. There were some parts that were like pale white.
Oh, they were going to the gray side.
Yeah. So instead, it just smelled bad and parts of it like kind of peeled off later. Great podcasting material, incidentally.
Oh, yeah.
But the leaders were like, we don't know what to do with that either, so why don't you go sit in one of the cars with a heater on for a couple hours, and then we'll see how you're feeling.
Wow. Wow.
So, anyway, I still have 10 toes, though, so that's nice.
That is nice. It's nice to hear.
But that's the story about how if you've never seen snow before, even if you're like 14 or 15 and you don't take anything seriously, you should take snow seriously.
Hey, you know what? It turns out extreme temperatures, not great. They'll fuck your shit up.
All of our listeners who like live in snowy climes, like, what the fuck?
You fucking idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when I posted the picture of me up at the cabin I went to for Christmas last year in the sandals at the snow. And yeah. I was like, I didn't bring shoes.
No, ever since then, I've taken snow like inordinately seriously. I see snow maybe once every 2 years, and I own like the fanciest pair of snow boots I can, because I'm like, that's not happening again. Fuck you.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it only takes one snow bite to really kind of get
your snow in you.
You're like, ooh, that'll fuck my shit.
So that's a bad story.
So there you go.
There you have it. And I'm thinking we might move to three chapters instead of two here, because this book's short, but also we're not filling an hour.
We're not.
There's just not enough content.
No.
So we might need to go. Stay tuned. We might be three chapters next time. We're not sure.
We might be three chapter in it.
Yeah, so who knows? But otherwise, hey, we're all done for the week. So if you would like to hear yet more content, and who wouldn't? It was a short episode. You should head over to Patreon and support us. That's patreon.com/systemmastery. At the $2 level or more, at which point you will unlock our expounded universe, where we go find fun stuff on Wikipedia that sometimes relates to the episode, sometimes doesn't. But it's always good shit, because there's just so much more deep nonsense to Star Wars than you can possibly even imagine.
Yeah, I keep thinking we should have... I mean, I said we should have run out of material for this, like, years ago, and yeah. Yet...
The Falcon sensors can't plumb the depths of how much bullshit Star Wars material there is.
So you know what? You should treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You had a light podcast, and now you can have a nice little Patreon dessert.
Mm-hmm.
So head over to patreon.com/systemmastery. Get it. Get a little extra.
Join us. And plus you get extra shit for it. Even at the $2 level, you're still getting extra shit, because that gets you the System Mastery bonus content.
It would be silly not to get it. It's such a good deal.
It's the best deal in the world.
It honestly is too good. We're too nice.
It's too nice, and that's why we're jacking up the price right here and now.
We're jacking off the price right now.
$20 a day from this point forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get in on it.
Get in on it. Well, it's hot, because we're going to raise that price on anybody who's not currently a patron.
You got to get grandfathered.
Yeah, you're going to get grandfathered in. If you join today, you get until the end of some month.
Yeah, you get to the end of the 5th of New Salisbury, and then...
Mm-hmm. That's the point where the prices go skyrocketing. So why not jump in now before the rush?
Yeah, get in on the ground floor.
While the lines are short. You got to get on this Patreon train. It's a new century.
It's taken off into the future, my man.
Also, there's a $5 level. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. I've been Elan Sleece Begano.
And I hate when my foot turns black.